I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Election Day is 1 week from today, and now the second in a series of interviews with the candidates in the riding of Vancouver Kingsway. As of late last night, five of the seven candidates have been booked for appearances. Only the Liberal Party and the Marxist-Leninist candidates have yet to confirm appearances on the program. Joining me now is Kimball Carew, the Communist Party candidate, a former laborer and political organizer. Mr. Carew is the editor of People's Voice, a bi-monthly newspaper. He's been involved in the peace movement going back to during the Vietnam War, and he's a founding member of Stop War, an anti-war coalition here in Vancouver. You occasionally see him in the pages of the Georgia Strait writing about the so-called War on Terror and other national issues. The website for more is at votecommunist.ca. This is Mr. Carew's third campaign in this riding for his party. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Kimball Carew. Good morning, Mr. Carew.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, I mentioned in my introduction the Marxist-Leninist Party, and I'm wondering what is the difference between your party and that party?
I'd rather people made their minds up about that themselves. They can check our website. They can check the Marxist-Leninists. There's some similarities on certain issues in terms of how we approach things, and there's also some differences. But it's the sort of thing I think that your listeners would do better to go check out the different websites and weigh it up and see what they think of each party's policies.
Yeah. I'm interested in whether communism is still relevant in the year 2011. Is it?
Well, you have communist parties that are very large and very active in many countries. You know, looking at the situation in Canada, there's some things that are very relevant in terms of what communists are doing in Greece, other European countries where they have a similar capitalist economy, the same kind of attacks against union rights, pensions, and so on. If you look at places like Latin America, countries like Cuba, Venezuela, socialism is very much on the agenda in places like that. Even in Brazil, the largest country in Latin America, the communists are part of the ruling coalition in that country. Similarly in South Africa. So every country is different. Every country has its own problems, its own histories, its own conditions. But like I say, in many countries, communists are playing a very important role in politics. We think that Canada would be better off if that was the case here, too.
And do you foresee that happening anytime soon?
Well, I don't have any crystal ball sitting on my desk. You could give historical examples. A few months before the Russian Revolution of 1917, Lenin wrote a letter saying that because of the First World War, the prospect for revolutionary change in Europe were lost for an entire generation. A couple months later, he's on the train back to Russia, and yeah. All heck is breaking loose. I do think that, if the capitalist system, which dominates our world, continues to go through regular crises and upheavals, the ideas that the communists are putting forward will be seen by a lot of people as very significant, very important.
Now, who's your leader, your national leader?
Miguel Figueroa is the leader of the Communist Party of Canada. He's running in Davenport. That's one of the Toronto ridings in this election.
And how many candidates is your party running nationally?
We have 20 across the country, including three here in British Columbia. Myself in Kingsway, we have George Ghidorah running in Burnaby Douglas, and Sam Hammond in Newton North Delta.
You wrote in a piece for the Georgia Strait about why you run, knowing that you won't win. You take issue with Mr. Harper and his government, and that's understandable, but why then run and perhaps take votes away from a candidate who could defeat Harper?
When we take part in elections, we raise a lot of issues that have fairly wide support, but which are not represented by the major parties. I'm thinking of things like public ownership of the oil and gas industry and the big banks. If you go out in the street and talk to working people about these kind of things, a lot of them will agree with us. If you talk to people about the need for, an immediate withdrawal from Afghanistan, and cutting military spending, getting out of this war that's just broken out in Libya, a lot of people will agree with us, but they don't have candidates to represent that point of view unless we're on the ballot. Just by entering the race and raising these kinds of issues, we help to shift the whole political debate in an election towards the left, towards more progressive solutions, help tilt the balance of the debate against the conservatives. And in most cases, that ends up helping parties like the NDP or even the Liberals or the Greens. A lot of people come up to us during the campaign and say, yeah, I agree absolutely with what you're saying. I'm not going to vote for you. And, you know, in the case of my riding, they'll say, I'm going to vote for Don Davies, even though his policies aren't as strong as yours, because he has a chance to win. Well, you know, that's politics. And if part of the role that we play is to help defeat the more right-wing candidates in favor of those that are somewhat more progressive, that's important, too.
Would you care to discuss Mr. Davies, the incumbent, and his record in office, perhaps the mm-hmm. differences between your party and his?
Well, overall, I think Mr. Davies has done an excellent job as a member of Parliament. You know, he's very hardworking, extremely knowledgeable. He's a very pro-working class kind of guy. He has a strong track record as a fighter for social justice, for working class interests. So on those kinds of bread and butter issues, and in terms of representing his constituents, you know, I think Don Davies has done a good job, and I wouldn't be upset if he got reelected, certainly. But there are things where the NDP platform, I think, is fairly weak. One of them is this whole question of public ownership. You know, the NDP shies away from any discussion of nationalization or public ownership of important sectors of the economy. They don't want to challenge the sort of dominant idea that capitalism is the only possible system for our planet. And at a time when capitalism is destroying the planet, this relentless search for private profit, which dominates all other criteria for setting policies, I think that that is very weak. It just falls short of what the real problems are. The other main issue where the NDP is weak is on foreign policy. They have sort of swung back and forth on the question of Afghanistan. Mr. Davies and I were arguing at a all-candidates forum at Collingwood last week about the NDP record. It is true that the NDP calls for withdrawal of Canadian troops from Afghanistan, but mainly that's on paper. What tends to happen in reality is that Jack Layton, the NDP leader, spends a lot of time praising the Canadian troops, praising their courage, talking about the sacrifices they've made. He never talks about the consequences for the Afghan people. He never issues news releases when Afghan civilians are killed by the occupation troops, including by Canadian troops. He talks about maintaining Canada's military budget, which is now up to $21 billion a year. You know, there's a little bit of discussion about shifting around the priorities of, you know, when are you going to buy warships compared to fighter jets. But the NDP wants to keep this insane military budget, which is increasing more rapidly than the rest of the federal budget. That's money that should be spent here at home addressing the needs of the Canadian people. So I think the NDP deserves some sharp criticism on these issues.
Now, you mentioned this all-candidates forum from last week. How do you think your opponents did?
Well, some did well, some didn't. The conservative candidate I found was extremely poorly informed. She outright lied on several issues. She claimed, for example, that it was the Conservative Party that brought in unemployment insurance into Canada. You know, and she was caught in saying some of these things, which are simply not true. The Liberal candidate, Wendy Yu, and I think she's a stronger campaigner than she was in the last election. You know, she's had some time to practice her public speaking and polish up her notes on, you know, what is the Liberal policy. But, I think she's kind of hobbled by a Liberal campaign that's spinning its wheels in this campaign. Mr. Davies, as always, he's very knowledgeable. He's very up on the issues, you know, facts and history. He's a very well-spoken guy. So So he did well. He was sort of defensive about the NDP foreign policy, but that's to be expected because their foreign policy is simply not defensible.
The issue of Afghanistan, it's an important issue,
Yes. Whether
one supports the mission or not, but it's not something that's being discussed in this campaign. That must frustrate you.
It's very frustrating for me. It's very frustrating for the anti-war movement. We know that in the range of 60% of Canadians want the mission to end as quickly as possible, depending how the question is worded in surveys. And that goes back a whole number of years. Canadians are, you know, dead set against this war by a fairly substantial majority, and yet Parliament seems incapable of bringing the troops home. I'll give you an example. In 2007, the Liberals put forward a motion for the complete return of Canadian troops by 2009. The NDP and the Conservatives voted against the motion and defeated it. You know, in the case of the Conservatives, it was because they're against ending the military mission. In the case of the NDP, they argued that the troops should be brought home immediately. So therefore, they voted with the Conservatives, with the result that the troops are still there. So there's a lot of game-playing going on in Parliament around this issue, and dozens more Canadians have died in that war since that time. Thousands of Afghans have died. Billions of dollars have been wasted. Canada continues to play the role of bodyguards for one group of vicious drug dealers in power in Afghanistan who are fighting out a civil war against a different group of vicious drug dealers. And where's the honor and courage in that? And why isn't this being debated?
The issue of Harper getting a majority, is that still a possibility, do you think, looking at the campaign of a week or so before the vote?
Wow.
Less than a week before the vote, I should say.
There's so much sort of volatility in these polls and what to read into them that I'm reluctant to make a guess about it. You know, it's possible. You know, from day to day, it looks, you know, more likely and then less likely.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. I do strongly get the sense that the majority of Canadians are very scared about the possibility of a Conservative majority. But they don't really know what to do about it, and they keep getting conflicting advice from the other parties, which is not surprising. It's an election.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very dangerous situation, and it seems that no matter what blunders and crimes and scandals the Conservatives are involved in, close to 40% of the population just doesn't care.
Do you enjoy running? I mean, this is your third campaign.
Oh, yeah. I've run in other ridings before as well. It's a great chance to get out and talk to people in the streets and on the doorsteps, and hear what they think, and get their feedback. You know, normally I'm a pretty quiet person. I'm not, you know, a real public sort of guy, but I do enjoy getting out in the campaign and meeting people and getting on a platform and debating with the other candidates on the rare occasions when that happens. It's a lot of fun, yeah.
And is there a part of the riding, because it's such a big riding, and a diverse riding, where you have a great deal of support? Like, is there a base of support in your riding? I'm sort of wondering where the communists are.
Mm-hmm. There's two areas that we concentrate on where we do have some supporters. One is in the area around the Joyce SkyTrain, where there's a lot of fairly new immigrants, new Canadians, including a lot of people, for example, from Latin America or some of the East European countries, and even some of the Chinese immigrants in that area. A lot of these people, they come from countries where the communist parties are very large and very active, and they're happy to find out that there's communists in Canada. Many of them can't vote yet. But that's not so important for us. We're out there to meet people and help build up our organization. The other area that we concentrate on a lot is around the Main and Kingsway part of the riding, which is where a lot of sort of progressive cultural activity kind of flourishes, and a lot of independent-minded people live in that neighborhood, and we get into a lot of good discussions and debates out on the street over there.
Do you run provincially or municipally?
No, I don't.
No. And in terms of the campaign in Kingsway, how do you think it'll look after May 2nd?
I think it's probably a fairly close race between the Liberals and the NDP there. With the NDP pulling ahead overall in the polls in British Columbia, I'd have to say it looks pretty safe for Don Davies at the moment. I tend to think the Conservatives will finish third, if only because their candidate is extremely weak in this election.
Kimball, I appreciate your time today, and thanks for coming on, and good luck with your campaign.
Okay, thank you very much for calling me.
You're very welcome. The website for more is at votecommunist.ca. Kimball Carey is the Communist Party candidate in Vancouver Kingsway. I'm Joseph Planta.